Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of Crits and the Gospel. My name is Reverend Katie Griffiths, and I am so thankful that you are joining me today. It is full vacation mode here in the month of June, and if you are listening as a member of Bethlehem United Methodist Church, where I serve, then you know that this is the second week that our tech team is at the beach without us, and that we are left to our own devices. And I'm so thankful that I have had the chance to learn how to use this platform in a way that makes it easy for me to still connect with you. When our tech team and the people that run our boards and our live broadcast are out of town. So next week we will be back, and we will be live streaming again, and I look forward to that. Again, if you are listening to this podcast, I appreciate that this is how you worship, and I hope that if you are on vacation that you are using this as a way to worship away from your own church. But as I say, probably not enough. I hope this is not your only form of worship. I hope that you have a place where you can go and listen and learn with worn bodies on either side of you, where you can be in fellowship with people. And that is so important. And I hope that you have that. If you don't, I'm so thankful that you're here with me. But I encourage you to look for a place where you feel comfortable worshiping in person. So let us come together in a posture of worship on this fifth Sunday after Pentecost. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Today's psalm is from the 107th psalm. We'll read the first three verses, and then we'll skip down and read verses 23 through 32. Hear now the inspiring words of the psalmist. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the mighty waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven, they went down to the depths, their courage melted away in their calamity. They reeled and staggered like drunkards, and they were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they had quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us come together now and recite the words of the things that we believe. The words of the Apostles' Creed remind us of what we believe. Friends, what are those things? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, in the busyness of our summers, in the busyness of life, bring us peace. Calm the storms. Help us learn from the storms and have faith in you. That even though you may look like you are sleeping, your presence is all we need for peace. Hear us now as we pray those words that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today's gospel lesson comes from the oldest of the synoptic gospels, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Hear now the words of the gospel according to Mark. On that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, as we come together, let the words that you have given me be a blessing to those who hear it and to the one who is speaking it. Help me to learn what lessons I need to learn from these words, just as much as the ones that are going to hear the words that you inspire me to say. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Y'all know how much I love the water. As I have, shall we say, matured, I have grown to enjoy my time floating or going on sunset cruises with friends. I have introduced the next generation of my family to the concept of the adult swim, time to simply float in the water and catch up on life. No splashing or dunking. Adult swim is not just about being of a certain age, but a mindset of peace and tranquility. That's how I like time on the water now. Peaceful. Tranquil. But in my younger days, my time on the water was spent a little differently. I was after the thrill of being on the water. I know it's hard to tell by looking at me now, but what an athlete I was back in the day. My time during the summer at the lake was actually less about athletics and more about survival. One of my favorite pictures from the lake hangs at my cousin's lake house around the lake from the house my grandparents owned. We used to all ride what we called the banana together. We fit 8 kids on an inflatable shaped like a rocket that was made for 2 people. We used to tube together as well on tires with the metal valve on them. As a very small child, I would lay on the tube and an adult would lay next to me with their arm over me so I wouldn't fly off. We held on to a length of hose that was wrapped around the front of the tube. And the most important part was making sure the valve was pointing down so it wouldn't impale you. As if all those safety hazards weren't enough, my Uncle Buddy made it a game to see how high he could launch us and try to throw us off these inflatable death traps. You know how he did it. He would drive the boat in circles, making a huge vortex of a wave in the middle, and then drive us straight through it. "Who made it higher?" we would scream and giggle as he came back to pick us up and make sure we were still in one piece. All of that danger was fun. We wanted and asked to be launched into the air. We loved the challenge. But there was one thing that made us actually miserable. One thing that was scary and painful and dangerous to a point that we really could have been hurt. Not only did we tube as children and young adults, but we loved to ski. Flying back and forth behind the boat on the smooth water, seeing how high we could spray, occasionally spraying those unsuspecting people having a peaceful adult swim. Not me, of course. I would never do that. We used to beg for one last ski before we left, or before the sun went down, or before the storm came in. The worst feeling was being caught skiing in the rain. It doesn't even have to be a hard rain. Being behind the boat without any protection was the worst place to be in a rainstorm. The drops of water turn to needles on your skin when you're caught in a storm. You can't see because of the water dripping down your face and pelting your arms and legs. Unless you're far from home or there's lightning involved, the best thing to do is to just grit your teeth and let the boat get you home as quickly as possible. Endure the pain and suffering until you can make it to a safe harbor. Those in the boat are looking out for you and trying to get you to safety as soon as possible, but you still have to go through the storm. It may be my Gen X self talking, but I learned a lot of lessons from my time suffering on the water. If I had not gone through all of those things, then other hardships that would come later in life would not be so easy to withstand. I love this story of Jesus sleeping in the boat during a storm. In my own mind, I see it like a movie, like a little poetic license. Sure, but I love to think about Jesus not really asleep, but faking sleep. The storm is raging. The disciples are freaking out. Clearly, they didn't grow up with an Uncle Buddy in a boat or riding, standing in the floorboard of a car before car seats or seatbelts. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? The Message version imagines it this way. Teacher, is it nothing that you to you that we're going down? We're going down with the ship. I like to think Jesus has one eye slightly open, checking to see if the disciples had learned the lesson yet. They think they're going down in a blaze of glory, and they really have nothing to worry about. They have let fear overtake their faith. I can almost hear the exasperation in Jesus' voice. They still had not learned. He tried to show them. He used the storm that was happening to try and remind them of something that they should have known. But here they were, yet again, afraid of things that looked concerning but really weren't. I find that sometimes it's not what is in Scripture, but what is not there that can be just as useful. Jesus doesn't actually say much in these verses. He says nothing about the actual storm. He doesn't relieve their fears of the actual thing that is making them afraid. All he does is calm the storm that was already there. He didn't create the storm. He didn't avoid the storm. He just made it peaceful. Jesus took something that was already happening, that was hard to deal with, and used it to show the disciples his power and the safety that their faith can bring them. That gives me a lot of comfort. For me, it shows that God doesn't create bad things in life to test my faith. He doesn't want bad things to happen to me. He doesn't make them happen. But when they do, and sometimes in life they will, he is there to remind us that having him in the boat with us is all that we need. Sometimes in life we ask for the storms and the waves. We seek the thrilling times that are anything but peaceful. We ask the Uncle Buddies of this world to see how high they can hurl us. We live for the chaos when we are young, and we'll call it adventurous. We try to see how many kids we can get to join us on the banana as we fly through life. Sometimes we can be sitting in adult swim time, minding our own business, wearing our floppy hat and enjoying my favorite summer drink, Fanta Orange, of course, in the water, when out of nowhere a showboat skier thinks it's funny to spray us as they drive by. We can get angry at the man-made storm that has ruined our peace. And sometimes we can be having the time of our lives. Nothing but us in the boat, skiing across the water early in the morning when the water is like glass. That time of day before the rest of the world is up and out on the water. That thrilling peace that comes from having the lake all to yourself. When the rain comes out of nowhere, we don't see it coming, and it starts to sting and hurt. But there's nothing to do but ride it out and get back home to the safety of the dock. The kind of storm that interrupts life and makes us angry that the beautiful moment that we were having is gone, even though we know that there will be other moments like that to come. He can use all of those times to show and remind us that our faith in him is all that we need. He can use those times to teach us before the next thing comes along. Our faith in him will protect us during the storms that will come. We can have peace if we have faith. I hope to get to a point in my life where I trust the man at the helm. Whether he is sleeping or driving the boat, I should be at peace. No matter what is going on outside the water, I have to trust my captain. Have faith in the one I know can keep me safe. I find myself watching this next generation of kids at the lake and remembering my own youth. We didn't have things like princess cruises, where the girls are pulled gently behind the boat by my Uncle Buddy or my brother. There was no slow down or I don't want a wild ride. There was only see how high you can throw me. I didn't know we had a choice. Anytime I'm on the boat, when we pass people floating with big hats and sunglasses, not wanting to get their hair wet, it takes all the courage I can muster not to encourage the skiers in my life to spray them. Life on the water has changed. The chaos looks different, but it still happens. What I hope I've learned, what I try to remember as I go through life, is that I should trust the times of peace. Trust that Jesus brings that peace through faith in him. Peace that can still happen in the midst of chaos. I'm more likely to be the person floating in the water with the big hat, sunglasses, and a drink in my hand, Fanta Orange, of course, than the wild child spraying docks. But I can still find peace when the dock sprayers come along. When the rains come while I'm on the water, I can be in the boat behind the windshield to find peace. I can't avoid the storms, but I know better now where the safe spaces are. All because I trust and have faith in the God that brings me peace, even when he is sleeping at the front of the boat. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out from their distress. He made The storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they had quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. Amen. As we go through this week, let us remember that though the storms may come, whether we feel like Jesus is asleep in the front of the boat on a cushion or behind the wheel driving our boat through the storm, he is always there, and that is all that matters. Because in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.